or works.
Katie, thanks for joining us. Katie O'Donovan there from Mumsnet on that petition. Now, after a stunning day yesterday where both French Open champions Rafael Nadal and Maria Sharapova were knocked out of the tournament, Andy Murray goes for a semi-final place at Wimbledon later, taking on Grigor Dimitrov. Archie Rintat is LBC's reporter at the Championships.
Wimbledon has played host to a few major shocks in the past, but what 19-year-old Australian Nick Kyrgios did to world number one Rafael Nadal on Tuesday will be remembered for some time to come. Kyrgios, the world number 144, bludgeoned the former Wimbledon champion Nadal over the course of four sets on centre. It wasn't such a good day for Serena Williams, though. Umpire Kada Nooney stopped her from playing on in her doubles match after Williams served four double faults in a row, but in general, she looked incapacitated on the court, which we're told was down to a viral illness. Later on today, though, Andy Murray will be back in action in the quarterfinals. He plays 11th seed Grigor Dimitrov second on centre, but it should also be mentioned that there's little rest for Tuesday's hero, Nick Kyrgios. His quarterfinal against Milos Raonic is third on number one court.
Meanwhile, in other sport, the quarterfinal lineup for the World Cup, that's now complete. Belgium beat the USA 2-1 after extra time in a terrific match last night. They will play Argentina, who needed a 118th minute goal to get past Switzerland. That game will take place on Saturday, as will the Netherlands clash with Costa Rica. On Friday, France will face Germany and host Brazil will go up against Colombia. To the weather prospects now then, finally, and it's set to be pretty hot. Here's Sky's Nazneen Gaffer.
Thanks, Lisa. Plenty of sunshine across England and Wales this morning, but cloudy over Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Republic, with outbreaks of rain to the far northwest and gusty winds. Through this afternoon, it'll tend to cloud over across Northern England and Wales, with chance of some isolated showers, but the rest of England will continue with the sunshine, particularly in the south, where it will be warm once again. The rain over the northwest of the UK will then spread into most of Scotland through this afternoon, as well as the northwest of Northern Ireland and the Republic. Some heavy downpours are likely across the northwest highlands, but elsewhere the rain will be fairly light. Top temperatures of 25 degrees Celsius today, that's 77 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight the rain will become patchy as it drifts further the south and eastwards into northern England and Wales. Behind that, it'll become drier and clearer across Scotland. It'll also remain dry with clear spells over southern England and Wales. Tomorrow, southern and southeastern areas of England are likely to see dry and sunny conditions again, and possibly the highest temperatures of the year so far at up to 27 degrees Celsius, which is 81 degrees Fahrenheit. However, central areas will be rather cloudy with showery outbreaks of rain and not as warm as the south, and lower temperatures are expected across northern England, Northern Ireland and Scotland, although these areas should be mainly dry with some sunshine.
Bringing us good news, Nazneen, thank you. And that was the morning news with me, Lisa Aziz. Here at 10, James O'Brien. Coming up next, Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
This is LBC.
The Times means business. The Times team cover every aspect of business, all in one place.
The lad's holiday could have been great.
One night I got so hammered I cracked my head open and went to hospital.
I had to take him in. Cost me €100.
Then we got into this wicked fight.
He got us into a fight. We ended up in a police cell.
I can't wait till next time.
Never again.
Want to remember your holiday for the right reasons? Don't ruin it for you and your mates.
At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, July the 2nd, Vive la Différence, a burqa ban in France, but could it come here to the UK? In other news, in an LBC exclusive, we speak to a former jihadist.
If just 100 of them come back to Europe alive, you can imagine what these people can do. They're trained to make bombs, they have been experienced in killing people.
Why foreign aid should be enshrined in law and we should guarantee a certain amount of money. A new game, Punch for Punch, that's proving fatal.
Danny and Stu, blow for blow. Let's go, lads.
Double jabs, yeah?
Oh, my. And he's drawn blood already.
Off to Wimbledon to celebrate the arrival of the Australian wunderkind. And what's the secret food that Andy Murray will be munching on this morning? We'll serve it to some tennis fans after the news.
On FM, online, on your mobile and on digital radio. Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
It's 7 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Lisa Aziz. A former radical Islamist turned spy has told LBC Britain needs to wake up to the growing threat of fighters returning from Iraq and Syria. Morton Storm claims he became a double agent working for MI6, MI5 and the CIA after rejecting his life as a Muslim extremist. He's told LBC the threat from militant group ISIS is bigger than 9/11.
We should spend a lot of energy on obviously securing our borders, making sure who's coming in and out of in Europe, who's allowed to come in and preach about Islam, who's not, what is being said, the books, what they're reading. We have to know that because these people could be radicalizing the youth, and these people can go back to Syria, they get the trainings to come back to Europe. And we've got a massive problem here.
Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy is now being formally investigated on suspicion of influence peddling. He appeared before a judge late last night. He denies attempting to interfere with an investigation into campaign funding. Police in Israel are investigating after a body of a teenager was found in East Jerusalem. Officers are looking into a possible connection with a reported kidnapping of a Palestinian on Tuesday morning. Yesterday, the funeral were held for three Israeli teenagers kidnapped and killed in the West Bank last month. The Metropolitan Police face paying out compensation after a tribunal ruled the force discriminated against a black female officer. An employment tribunal concluded Carol Howard was singled out and targeted because of her race and sex. The 35-year-old, who was a firearms officer in the Diplomatic Protection Group, has branded the force institutionally racist. The Prime Minister says hospital superbugs are threatening to send us back to the Dark Ages. David Cameron's announcing later how Britain will lead the global fight against them. He says resistance to antibiotics is a very real and worrying threat, and he wants to see a stronger, more coherent global response. A man from southeast London has died after reportedly playing a game which involves people filming themselves punching each other. 23-year-old Tommy Main from Erith collapsed after a party in the early hours of Sunday morning. More than 50,000 people have signed a petition calling for Prime Minister's questions to be reformed. A survey by a parenting website found three quarters of its users thought the weekly debate is unprofessional and outdated. Katie O'Donovan from Mumsnet has been speaking to LBC.
Most of our users are absolutely passionate about the Prime Minister and the government being held to account and think that PMQs is definitely part of that, but want to look at if there's ways to improve the effectiveness of the PMQs to strengthen it.
Rafa Nadal says he's pleased with the way he's played at Wimbledon despite being knocked out by Australian wildcard Nick Kyrgios. The two-time champion was beaten in four sets by the 19-year-old.
I didn't play really bad, you know, but that's the game in this phrase. I think in the second and in the third set I was better than him, but I was not able to convert that opportunities. And for the rest, I think he played better than me.
Defending champion Andy Murray will be looking to book his place in the semi-finals later. He'll be up against 11th seed Grigor Dimitrov. Belgium and Argentina are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. Sky's Lawrence Moura is in Brazil for LBC.
So the last 16 concluded in much the same way as the rest of the matches, tight and intense. Argentina were unable to break down Switzerland until Lionel Messi and Angel Di Maria combined late in the second period of extra time. Then it was the turn of the USA to frustrate Belgium. The Belgians scored two goals in extra time, but the Americans still went close to getting back on level terms. So the quarterfinal lineup is completed and we kick off on Friday. Lawrence Moura, LBC. At the World Cup in Brazil.
And LBC weather, dry with hazy sunshine for London and the South East. Feeling warm with highs today of 24 degrees. Staying dry and warm for most of England and Wales with sunny spells. Little hazier in the north. Scotland and Northern Ireland starting fine, but strong winds and heavy rain will be edging into northwestern areas. LBC News Time, it's 4 minutes past seven.
So where do you want me to drop you off?
Market Street. You know Michael? The hairdressers.
Oh, finally, yeah, total makeover. We were all wondering when you were going to lose that 80s bubble perm and get a new colour. You go, girl.
No, it's just that I live next door to there.
Oh, okay.
There's an alternative route that's 5 minutes faster.
TomTom. Quicker journeys when you need them. I'm J. Louise Knight in the LBC Travel Centre, and the A12 is queuing into town from 13 at Ingerston down to the Brook Street roundabout at the M25. Now, we've got a couple of problems there this morning. Firstly, the traffic lights on that side of the roundabout are out at the moment, not causing queues around the roundabout or from the slips from the M25, but it is causing long delays heading south on the A12. And there's also been an accident in the queues just before the M25, blocking one lane. A2 queuing into town from the Danson interchange up to the Falconwood exit slip to Ryfield Road. That's still shut for ongoing works. And expect delays either side of the river at the Woolwich Ferry Terminal. Only a one boat service at the moment, caused by a technical problem. A40, if you're coming into town, slow from the Polish War Memorial at Northolt down to the Medway underpass at Perivale. There was a van that had broken down in the left-hand lane. Just watched on cameras. Police have pulled it clear now. And expect delays between Camberwell and Peckham again today, as the temporary lights are still in place on Peckham Road at Vestry Road, keeping you moving. Your next travel update's in 15 minutes.
LBC Travel.
With GoToMeeting. Stay ahead of the game. Leave travel behind.
This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation, with Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Morning to you, 6 after 7 on Wednesday, July the 2nd. Coming up later in this hour, why our amount of foreign aid should be enshrined in law. Despite all the problems back here, the campaigners who say we should guarantee to give that amount of money. Later in the show, the dangerous craze, this punch game now proving fatal with that tragedy in Erith. We'll give you details on that. Also, Israel teetering on the brink, the murder of those three young Israelis, demonstrations and minor outbreaks of rioting in the area today. We'll be looking at exactly what it means for that country. The most sickening picture, or one of the most sickening pictures of animal cruelty you will ever see. And if you have children, I would urge you not to let them see it. It is truly shocking. We'll be giving you details about that as well later in the show. We'll celebrate the arrival of the Australian wunderkind, of course, as Andy Murray moves into quarterfinals. What's the secret food that Mr. Murray is probably even munching now? Probably about an hour's time, actually. We'll be trying that on the Wimbledon faithful, those are fans who are standing online, queuing to get in. Plus,
there's 400 British nationals in Syria. They are determined and they are ready to do these things. That is obviously dangerous.
An exclusive interview with a jihadist explaining the motives why he and others did or do what they do, and to lighten the mood, Monty Python goes down to the O2, but it would be seem to be a case of something, and now for something completely familiar.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
So it's a busy morning. Let's get cracking straight away. And indeed, we move elsewhere in the world. We move to France, where the burqa ban has been upheld by judges at the European Court of Human Rights. They accept the argument that it encourages citizens to live together. It was introduced back in 2010. It makes it illegal for anyone to cover their face in a public place. It also covers balaclavas and hoods, but the ban has been seen as criticising and targeting Muslim women. It's interesting to point out that this case was brought by a 24-year-old French citizen of Pakistani origin, represented by solicitors from Birmingham. Perhaps you couldn't get anybody within France to represent the case. Let's get the journalistic background to this. Peter Allen is a freelance journalist in France. How divisive has this proved in the country, Peter? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's proved very divisive, actually, especially amongst Muslim communities. As you can imagine, we had some riots in Trappes, which is a Paris suburb, last summer. That was because a young woman, the police stopped her, her husband objected, and it all ended up in a bit of a punch-up, and there were arrests. Lots of other Muslims have complained that it stigmatizes some 6 million Muslims living in France, and it's being used for political purposes.
What do you see happening now?
I think what will happen now is that people who enforce the ban will take heart from this ruling from Europe, and I think other European countries will contemplate introducing their own ban, possibly even Britain at some stage.
Have there been more? Is there likely to be more demonstrations? Have there been some commentators giving warnings overnight that this could now get a little expand and get a little more ugly?
Yes, there's always warnings like that. They say that now that it's not just the French government that's against them, it's now Europe itself, and that Islam is being stigmatized through this ban. And as you say, sort of more radical elements within the Muslim community could well take action over this.
And just finally, Peter, just so that we absolutely nail this, in France, you can wear a headscarf. I think it's called a jihad or something. I'm not very familiar with all these terms, but you probably know what I'm referring. But what you can't have is a full face covering. So presumably Jewish people can wear yarmulkes and skull caps, and other people can wear what they like. It's just the face covering that's the problem. Is that
exactly
right?
It's the face covering. That's exactly what it is.
All right, Peter, stay on top of that for us. Thank you, Peter Allen, freelance journalist in France. 7:10, would you like to see that burqa ban here? Personally, I wouldn't. I celebrate the fact that if a woman wants to walk down London or Manchester or Birmingham, wherever she might live, that she's able to. I think it's a terrible retrograde step, but we'll take your views in a second. Let's speak for now with Ashan Ahmadi, who's a spokesman for the London Ahmadiyya Muslim Association. Your reaction to what's happened in France? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I'm a little bit concerned that the freedom, as you just pointed out, I think it's the freedom of faith and freedom of conscience and religion that is being questioned here now. Which has been taken away in our countries where, you know, where we live with freedom of faith is given to us. And this has been taken. Now, I mean, personally speaking, I don't think the burqa is actually part of the Islamic teachings. But nevertheless, I think if people think that is their teaching, we have freedom to do anything, you know, in these countries. We can wear whatever we want. We can put as little on as we want, put as much on as we want. We've never had the issues when the nuns were wearing their headscarves, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this is, to me, the most concerning thing is that the youth, the Muslim youth, will feel as if it's an attack on Islam. And the thing that we're trying to prevent with this ban, I think, was to prevent extremism, to stop them, you know, so we can recognize them. I think people will be pushed towards more extremism, those youth who feel that their religion is being attacked, right? Personally, I don't think the religion is being attacked, but the youth will feel it like that. So I think it's going to have a negative effect. You know, in courts and in airports where the security is needed, of course, you know, we should have provisions made to stop this. For example, in courts, you can have screens put up to stop other people looking in, and et cetera. So, you know, women can wear the burqa, but then in the courts, they take it off with the screens on so the public can't see them. At airports, you can have women doing the security checks, where, you know, amongst women you don't have to have that burqa on. So, you know, there are provisions of doing, I think, a blanket ban like this, I think, is going to play in the hands of extremism, and it's going to cause France bigger problems. And if any other country does it, I think they're going to ask for trouble.
And just lastly on this, I'm going to ask what my listeners think in a moment, Mr. Ahmadi, and I guarantee that there will be the view that the burqa is a tool of oppression, that women are forced to wear it sometimes by fathers or husbands or perhaps brothers. How would you respond to that?
I'm telling you, Nick, this is a totally false thinking. The women who are wearing the burqas are young, educated university students, mostly graduate nature, rather than the old traditional from villages who might have been oppressed. I agree that in our cultures there has been oppression, and it's not the religion, it's the culture that's done it. But these women who are wearing the burqas are very, very independent women. I've seen women who were first without headscarves, let alone the full burqa. They didn't even used to wear hijabs.
Yes.
Now they're wearing it.
I will leave it there. Hijab, that was the word I was searching for. Thank you, Ahsan Ahmadi. You're with the London Ahmadiyya Muslim Association. The burqa ban, just the other side of the channel. Repressive or right? We'll have your views and verdicts right after this.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With Hampton by Hilton. With hotels in Germany, Poland, Turkey and the UK.
This is my dinosaur Rex. He's got really big sharp teeth and a loud scary roar. Rex is going to look after me, Mummy and Daddy. And watch over our house in case the bad people come back. We don't like the bad people, do we, Rex?
ADT knows the true cost of burglary is not just what they take, it's what they leave behind. So our monitored alarms keep an eye on your home around the clock. In fact, 93% of burglars avoid them. Learn more at adt.co.uk. ADT. Always there.
Roar!
106 reform burglars interviewed in September and October 2012.
Is your company thinking of moving office? If so,
This could be the perfect opportunity to revolutionize your business, transform your workplace, and inspire your staff. Speak to Maris Interiors, who've been designing and fitting out workplaces for over 3 decades. Book your free consultation, attend a free seminar, or get your free guidebook. Go to officerelocation.co.uk. Maris, workplace design experts.
7:15 news headlines. Lisa Aziz.
A former radical Islamist turned spy has told LBC Britain needs to wake up to the growing threat of fighters returning from Iraq and Syria. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy is now being formally investigated on suspicion of influence peddling. He appeared before a judge late last night. David Cameron says Britain is to lead the fight against antibiotic-resistant superbugs, which risk sending the country back to the dark ages. The FTSE 100 will start the day at 68.02 after closing up 58 yesterday. This is LBC. Your travel news is next.
This is so kind of you. I can easily get the bus.
Listen, it's no trouble at all. Oh. I'll take you in the car, drop you off.
You are quite the gent, Simon.
Well, you know, I want to say last night was really special, Kate.
It's Jane.
There's an alternative route that's 3 minutes faster.
TomTom. Quicker journeys when you need them.
I'm J. Louise Knight in the LBC Travel Centre, and the A40 is queuing into town from Master Brewer now all the way down to a broken down car at Gypsy Corner. It's blocking the middle lane at the Wales Farm Road traffic lights. We also had a broken down van in the Perivale underpass, but that's cleared. So this broken down car and van adding to the usual delays into town. A12 slow into town from Ingatestone at 13 to the Brook Street roundabout at the M25. Got a problem with the lights on that side of the roundabout. Now the roundabout itself and the slips from the M25 looking clear. It's just the A12 coming into town, and there's also an accident in the queues partly blocking one lane. A2's queuing into town from Danson to Falcon where the exit slip's still shut for ongoing work, and only a one-boat service at the moment at the Woolwich Ferry caused by a technical problem. Worst of the queues are on the south side of the river. And expect delays on Peckham Road between Camberwell and Peckham. The temporary lights are still in place on Peckham Road at Vestry Road. Keeping you moving, your next travel update's in 15 minutes.
LBC Travel.
With GoToMeeting. Work smarter with a free 30-day trial.
Is it possible to sell your property for the asking price or above in 7 days? We think so. We're Paramount Properties. Our open days allow vendors to receive multiple offers after one day of viewings. And this year, 95% of our open day properties north of the Thames sold subject to contract within 7 days. And if we don't do the same with your property, we'll charge 0% commission. Paramount's 7-day promise. Visit paramountproperties.co.uk/radio. Conditions apply.
The world is on sale until July the 8th. Book flights and holidays at ba.com. British Airways. To fly, to serve. Terms and conditions apply.
With WeBuyAnyCar.com, you can sell your car quickly and safely. But that's not all. By going with us, you also become a cash buyer, putting yourself in a great position to negotiate a better deal on your next car. It's something we've been telling our customers for a while now, and it's having a rather big effect. On average, our customers are now making an overall saving of £1,251. Blimey! If you want to join them, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. The UK's favourite car buying service.
At the Wise Bedroom Centre in Bexley Heath, we understand beds. They're our haven, our sanctuary, our soft, squidgy square of luxury. They're where we de-stress, recharge and relax. Which is why we make finding your next bed, mattress or bedroom furniture as easy as possible. We only have the biggest brand names. Our large stocks mean quick delivery, and you won't lose sleep over the prices either.
The Wise Bedroom Centre. Find us on the Broadway, Bexley Heath, and online at wisebedrooms.co.uk. This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation, with Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
19 after 7. Ralph, you're the first of many callers. Should we have the burqa ban here in the UK? I say no. Let's see what you say in just a moment. Let's now quickly go through the front pages of the newspapers this morning. Wow, probably not a night to be an editor last night. Wide range of stories, no real story. I don't think there's two shared stories anyway. Let's so quickly race through. Financial Times, we always know they'll go with money. Investors pushed sterling to a six-year high against the dollar yesterday. That's interesting. After booming manufacturing data boosted expectations, the Bank of England will become the first major central bank to increase interest rates. We'll look at that in our world review of the world of finance in just over 10 minutes' time. Other front pages, new law to tackle revenge porn, says the Telegraph. Jilted lovers who post revenge pornography on the internet could face prosecution, Minister said yesterday. They warn the practice is becoming increasingly common in the UK. Have you ever done that? That's a pretty low blow in every sense of the word, isn't it? The Independent. A scientist has created a pandemic strain of the flu virus that could, there's a lot of coulds today, could leave the human population defenceless against its re-emergence. In his most dangerous experiment at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, the scientist has genetically manipulated the 2009 strain of pandemic flu that killed 500,000 people in its first year. Why would you want to do that? The Times. Britain will lead a global fight back against antibiotic-resistant superbugs to prevent the world being cast back into the dark ages of medicine. You will hear from Prime Minister David Cameron later today. We'll try and look at that story in more detail for you later in the show. This is the front page of The Guardian. Doctors should be able to help terminally ill patients end their lives days or weeks before they die, so says one of the leaders of Britain's medical profession. Terminally ill patients should be provided with the professional equivalent of midwives to help ease the pain and suffering and, if necessary, shorten the end of their lives. Well, I get the idea, but imagine having that as a job. You drive around all day in your little NHS car administering drugs that kills people. And if you don't think they target those cars and nick the drugs, you're nuts. But it's probably a good idea in the heart of it. Health for the front page of the Daily Mail. Nearly 500,000 women are being denied a 7p-a-day pill that could prevent breast cancer because of NHS red tape. Those with a family history of the illness should be offered tamoxifen or raloxifene, if I'm saying that correctly. But NICE urged doctors to offer the high pills, to offer the pills to high and moderate risk women for prevention last June, but it's not getting through. Statins are safe and the jury is no longer out on whether the benefits outweigh the risks. So don't believe me, so says the Daily Express. They have a full report on that. Madeleine McCann, the latest, the front page of the Daily Mirror. Officers yesterday began quizzing four formal suspects in the hunt for Madeleine McCann. A Scotland Yard team landed in Portugal with a file of questions to ask the men. The Sun newspaper talk about the ISIS. They seem to have a photograph of sorts of the leader of ISIS. This is a sect, of course, that is declaring that caliphate and spreading across Iraq. Big Baghdadi, they call him. He's got a billion in the bank. He's declared war on the world. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is the man's name, and there's a picture on the Sun. Oh, it's Madeleine for the front page of the Daily Star, so there is a tie there, the Mirror as well. First pics of suspects grilled by Brit cops, and they're inside the Daily Star, the suspects that they're going to, the Metropolitan Police officers, will be interviewing. Andrew Pearce is consultant editor of the Daily Mail, and of course, as I always remind you, he's on the team sheet here, LBC as well. Every Saturday morning he does breakfast here. Where are you going first, mate?
Morning, Nick. Morning, well, Andrew. You can't get away from Rolf Harris.
Nope.
Page of the Times.
Some girls really couldn't, could they?
Well, indeed. Talks about the front page of the Times' worldwide scramble to erase the legacy of Harris. Art collectors, galleries and even eBay are doing everything they can to disassociate from him. There's the owner of a £50,000 portrait of Bonnie Tyler. She says she's going to burn it.
Really?
It'll be worth £50,000 now, will it?
No.
But interestingly, apparently Harris's work was once placed above Damien Hirst's in the Definitive Guide to Art because it was so popular. The great search is, where is the portrait he painted of the Queen
yes.
to mark her 80th birthday.
Yes, I
Buckingham
see the mail's
Palace.
Done that. Nobody knows where
Nobody
it is.
Nobody knows where it is. It's certainly not hanging on one of Her Majesty's walls, so whether it's in a dusty attic somewhere.
Yeah.
And on the question of Rolf Harris, a few weeks ago I talked to Nigel Evans on this programme,
yeah.
the Tory MP, who said it's not right that males accused of sex crimes are named in court.
Yeah.
He was, of course, famously named in court and was cleared. But the head of the Crown Prosecution Service, Alison, what's her name? It'll come to me in a second. Alison Saunders, Director of Public Prosecution, saying that it proves the point that you've got to name the male accused in sex cases because of the publicity surrounding Rolf Harris. Many names came forward. It's a very, very difficult path to tread, that one.
Your newspaper,
I'm not sure she's right.
Your newspaper, The Mail, has done a lot of this and has highlighted the fact that the lawyers acting for Rolf Harris tried to use it as a sort of Leveson angle.
Oh, they did. Oh, Nick, I can tell you, we had letters, legal letters, a mile high from lawyers threatening us if we named him. For months and months, Rolf Harris was being questioned by the police, and it was only when that name was finally reported that other victims came forward.
And helped nail him.
And helped nail him. And each one of those victims described the method that he used to attack them. It was identical, in exactly the same way as Max Clifford. So you can see that there is a compelling case to name the male victims, even though when they're cleared, those men suffer huge damage.
There we are. Andrew Pearce comes back with more from the papers. And, of course, you can get more of Andrew every Saturday morning on LBC. That unique blend. He knows everything that's going on in Fleet Street that was, although there's not a single newspaper left. I don't think even the Methodist Recorder's on Fleet Street anymore, is it?
Nothing.
There's nothing. But anyway, Andrew knows what's going on around what was Fleet Street. He's here on the radio every Saturday. Let's talk today. Let's talk about the book. Let's talk with Ralph in Hounslow. Good or bad, we or non to what the French have done? Good morning.
Non, most definitely.
Really?
Absolutely, and I'm disappointed, Nick, that you said that you're happy to see it in, because I think that there's not enough positive sponsorship of English values, and I'm 58 years old, and all my life, all I've seen and heard is erosion of British values, sick inside of it, behind every burqa there's a man or religious diktat telling the woman to do it.
Well, you know, hang on. I think we have to listen to the gentleman who's from a Muslim association who says that, in fact, the people who want to work where... Let me just speak. Are the young, educated... Let me just get the sentence out. Are young, educated Muslim women. I don't see it as a tool of oppression.
They're not young, educated. They may be young and educated, but there's a man behind them telling them to do it.
I think not. These are people, if you listen to that gentleman, and he's probably closer to it than either one of us, these are independently minded women.
Every woman wearing a burqa, there's a man or a religious dictat that tells them to do it.
Let's look at this another way. Ralph, when you see a woman wearing a burqa, what's the problem for you? Tell me what the problem is.
The problem is it's a regressive foreign culture, and it's infiltrating the English one. It's infiltrated it, and we can't get rid of it now.
When you see a gentleman wearing a turban, how do you feel?
Similar, but it's not the same issue, because they're not jihadists about it.
Well, how do you know that Muslim woman who just walked past you on Hounslow High Street is a jihadist?
Read the Quran, Nick. Go and read it.
Well, I haven't read it all. I've read bits of it, and I have attended a mosque. So, Ralph, I'm grateful for your input. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. Mohammed's in Stevenage. Hello, Mohammed.
Good morning.
Yes, your view, sir, of what they've done in France.
Well, I think it's totally wrong. It's freedom of expression being denied. For example, if you see people wearing masks in the cities where pollution is a problem, for their health and safety, they wear masks, right? So these women are wearing burqas for their spiritual health and safety. Also, another point I'd like to add, that when I see somebody just said, you know, seeing somebody, a woman in burqa, is being oppressed. When I see a half-naked lady, I think she's a victim of her peer pressure and exposing her body to the world.
That's interesting how you feel that. Again, I would, providing she's got a covering, of course, on her top and bottom bits, I would absolutely support that young woman. If she chooses to walk down, Stevenage High Street, providing there's a degree of modesty, she should be allowed to do it, just as the girl behind her should be allowed to wear her burqa. Mohammed, thank you for that. Couple of emails. John Hilton, very simply, France is right, ban the burqa. Paul Simpson in Lewisham, we need to outlaw, ban and eradicate all foreign clothing in this country immediately. That would mean Camilla Batman-Gay would be walking around naked. Do you really have a problem with the way she dresses, the woman who's in charge of that kids' scope or kids' company, whatever it is? Isn't it just part of a celebration of what we all wear? More on that in just a moment. Now, as we've been telling you in the news here, a former radical Islamist-turned-spy has told LBC the threat to Britain from ISIS, and we saw them on the front page of The Sun, is bigger than 9/11. Morton Storm says he became a double agent working for MI6, MI5 and the CIA after rejecting life as a Muslim extremist. He spoke with LBC's Tom Swarbrick. He said the threat from young British men returning from Iraq and Syria is real. He grew up in Denmark, abused physically and mentally by his parents. He became a juvenile tearaway, joining gangs and fighting in the street. His life had no purpose until, he says, he read the biography of the Prophet Muhammad. Morton's Islam, though, was a fundamentalist version. It wasn't long before he went to Yemen to train to fight in jihad. He came back to London radicalised and ready to fight and mixing with extremists and jihadis. Here's LBC's Tom Swarbrick with Morton Storm describing how he met shoe bomber Richard Reid.
I met him in Brixton Mosque.
At what kind of time? What year?
Well, we talk about 99.
What did you make of Richard Reid?
Well, Richard Reid was... obviously, we talked about jihad and, you know, we talked about the differences we had with the people. We actually, we were different from the people of Brixton Mosque because Brixton Mosque was more pro-government, they were more pacifist, Salafist, whereas you see us, the other ones, we were more militant. We supported the, you know, the religious struggle in Chechnya, in other places. And so we will talk about those issues and differences and yeah, that makes people to... as you say, the shoe bomber. He became a shoe bomber.
Were you quite quick to say, actually, violence is the answer here?
Yes, because you're frustrated and you don't see any justice happening. I mean, they invaded Iraq based on lies and hundreds of thousands of people have been killed, civilians, because of that. And we see the atrocities, what's happening today because of the invasion of Iraq. And no one has been held accountable for that. So that is obviously fuel to people who are, maybe even those who are in doubt. It makes it easier for them to decide to choose that path because the hatred, the frustrations, they feel victimized, they feel that they have been demonized by the West.
Did you talk about blowing things up or blowing people up? Or
no, we didn't talk about that. We talked about, obviously, joining up in, for example, in Somalia or in Yemen or other places for jihad.
Hmm. And tell us about the time that you went over, because you were in a group with some very, very high-profile, very senior Al-Qaeda members.
Yeah, I met, obviously, during my stay in Yemen, I met Adil Abab, who was the religious leader of AQIP, the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. I met Nasser Wahashi, I met Anwar al-Awlaqi, I mean many prominent figures within that organization.
And what was it like to describe what those meetings felt like?
Well, to be honest, these people were like joking because obviously when you're on their side, you're all right. I mean, they show the human side of the human character they have. And, you know, they will sit and joke about wives and they will sit and we will eat together and they will be giving a religious lecture or something like that.
You never felt scared?
No, absolutely.
You never thought... I feel a bit out of my depth here.
No, this is your course. This is your call. You believe in it. You're determined to follow the path.
LBC's Tom Swarbrick there talking to that Morton Storm. In the second part of the interview, you'll hear how he rejects extremism, began operating as a double agent to try and foil terrorist plots in Britain. Stay tuned for that. We'll come back to our conversation about the burqa. Plus, it would appear now Britain leading the way, the pound soaring against the dollar. Full details after this. 7:31, you're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time, Lisa Aziz.